Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with a continued study in our series on Hebrews. This is chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'll read the verses first, and then we'll go into the introduction. Starting at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, these verses 14 through 19, starts out saying, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Then, today we are exhorted to not harden our hearts to the voice of Yahweh as the Israelites did, who came out from Egypt by Moses, with the result being that they were sentenced to wander for 40 years and die in the wilderness, without ever being allowed into the promised land. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now let's look at the first verse, verse 14. And go through each verse individually. Verse 14 states, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In this verse, we are told why we should exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It is because, as we read in our verse 14, because we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So, we are commanded in verse 13 to exhort one another daily that we might not hardened, or that we might not be hardened by the deceitfulness or seduction of sin. Why? For we are made partakers of Christ. That is, we have become beneficiaries or partners in Christ to all his riches, which includes new sinless resurrected soul, which we have already received at the point of salvation, a new sinless resurrected body, which we will receive on the last day, and the new heaven and earth, which we will receive on the last day, wherein we will dwell without any more pain, sorrow, sadness, sickness, or death, as we rule and reign in glory and bliss with our Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. So, it is all that we, the elect, have to look forward to for all eternity in Christ, that we should be motivated to exhort one another daily, including ourselves, to remain faithful to the Word of God. Now our scripture says, for we are made partakers of Christ. The verb translated, we are made partakers, is in the perfect tense. The perfect tense means that the action of the verb, we are made partakers, was completed in the past. And the result of having been made partakers in the past continues on in full force into the present. So, We have been made partakers of Christ at some time in the past when we were born again. And so we were then made beneficiaries to everything that was present and yet to come in Christ Jesus. And we are still partakers and beneficiaries of all those things into the present, because we cannot ever lose our salvation. Furthermore, all these eternal benefits in Christ should be our motivation to exhort one another daily to remain faithful. Because look at all that we inherit by being partakers of Christ. We inherit eternal salvation. We inherit eternal sinless bodies. We inherit the new eternal heaven and earth, where we will live forever without any more death, pain, sorrow, and sadness, where God will wipe away all our tears forever. Next, we are told that we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. This makes it sound as if our being partakers of Christ, that is, being saved, depends upon our doing something, namely, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. But doesn't salvation come as a free gift without us having to do anything? We read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So yes, salvation, or being a partaker of Christ, does come as a free gift. But then why are we told that we are partakers of Christ only if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end? Why, it is because included in the gift of salvation is that we will hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, if we have been granted as a free gift to be partakers of Christ, that is, we have been saved, then as a fruit of that gift of salvation, we will hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We do not hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end in order to become partakers of Christ, but we do so in order to reveal that we are already partakers of Christ. Theologically, this is known as the perseverance of the saints. It means that all of those who are partakers of Christ, that is, who are saved, will persevere unto the end. Indeed, this perseverance is a part of the free gift of salvation given to the elect. As we continue to read in Ephesians 2, verse 9, or I should say verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." Now, what is the beginning of our confidence that we must hold steadfast unto the end in order to reveal that we are partakers of Christ, namely, that we are saved? Why, it is the gospel, of course. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren," starting in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So the beginning of our confidence that we must hold steadfast is the belief that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel, And the gospel is not just that Christ died for our sins, but that he died for our sins when he was on earth, at the time when he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. This means that the true gospel took place on earth. It did not take place at or before the foundation of the world, as some would have you believe. Remember what we just read in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, to reveal that you are saved, you must keep in memory what was preached unto you, namely, that Christ died for your sins when he was on earth. And we know that was in 33 AD, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. If you believe differently that Christ actually died for sins at or before the foundation of the world, and that he then merely demonstrated all that when he came to earth, then you have believed in vain. For this is a false gospel, seeking to devour all who have fallen prey to its deception. And you can click on the link to see that this is a false gospel. But if you still believe that Christ died for your sins when he was on earth, according to the scriptures, as you were first taught, then you have held fast to the beginning of our confidence and reveal that you are partakers of Christ. Now let's move on to verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 3. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. The first part of this verse reads, while it is said. A more literal translation would read, in its being said. Then we read, today, if you will hear his voice. The verb translated as you will hear is in the subjunctive mood of the Greek, which is the mood of possibility or probability. And to express that possibility, we would translate our verse, today, if you should hear his voice. The idea is that you might not hear his voice, but if you should hear his voice, in other words, it is a possibility, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Actually, the verb harden in the sentence, harden not your hearts, is also in the subjunctive mood of the Greek, so that our entire verse would now read, in its being said, today, if you should hear his voice, you should harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. The word provocation is a translation of one word literally meaning beside bittering, which can be translated as embitterment. So our verse now reads, in its being said, today if you should hear his voice, you should harden not your hearts as in the embitterment. The embitterment, like the provocation, of course, is referring to when Yahweh became embittered or provoked to anger with the Israelites in the wilderness because of their continued hard hearts of unbelief, which we saw over and over again in the accounts that we went over in the last several studies on Hebrews chapter 3. Since we have now already gone through most of those accounts, we will not go through any new accounts in this study, but leave it to say that the Israelites who came up from Egypt constantly provoked Yahweh to anger and embittered him because they simply would not believe what Yahweh would say and so obey him. These rebellious Israelites are a type of all the New Testament churches. especially ever since May 21, 1988, when they all began to be given over to the Antichrist, the false Christ, who constantly led them all astray with false teachings, with apparent signs and wonders, to lead astray all those who did not love the truth, but who exchanged the truth for a lie. The result being that all those in the churches are now destined to wander the wilderness of this world until they die, and they will not be allowed into the promised land of heaven. Only the elect, who are now found outside of all the churches, and who were typified by Joshua and Caleb, will be allowed into heaven. Moving on to verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Here we read, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. The sentence, when they had heard, can simply be translated, that heard, and the word provoke is a translation of that same word, which literally means embitter. Therefore, our verse reads, for some that heard did embitter, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Furthermore, the word howbeit is simply a translation of the word but, Allah. So our entire verse reads like this. For some that heard did embitter, but not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Although we had already learned that not all of those who came out of Egypt did embitter Yahweh, namely Joshua and Caleb, most of them did. And you can certainly click on the link to see the previous study that shows this. And why did they embitter or provoke Yahweh? Because even though Yahweh made his word known to all the Israelites who heard, they nevertheless would not believe his word, and so would not obey it. This is the test for us today. Do we believe Yahweh's word when it says that Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011? We were given much proof and evidence in his word that it did. You can click on the link to see this. Do we believe that salvation has come to an end ever since May 21, 2011? And you can click on the two links to see that this is the case. Do we believe that Christ died for sins on earth in 33 AD, to which the scriptures so clearly attest to? These are some of the most important questions set before us today, to which if we answer any one of these questions in the negative, then like the Israelites of old, we simply do not believe the word of Yahweh. And such unbelief will surely keep us from the promised land of heaven. The truth is that just as the majority of Israelites were not permitted into the promised land, so also the vast majority of all those who came out of the churches, that is, spiritual Egypt, in obedience to the Lord's command, and you can see why it was obedient by clicking on the link, these who came out will not be going to heaven due to unbelief in his word that Judgment Day has begun with the end of salvation, and that Christ died for sins when he came to earth and died on the cross, and not during some imagined... Now, let me get back and read that again, because I obviously missed something and made a mistake. It reads, the truth is that the vast majority of the Israelites were not permitted into the promised land. So also, the vast majority of all those who came out of the churches, that is, out of spiritual Egypt, in obedience to the Lord's command, will not be going to heaven due to unbelief in his word that Judgment Day has begun with the end of salvation and that Christ died for sins when he came to earth and died on the cross, and not during some imaginary atonement at or before the foundation of the world. And you can click on the link to see this. Now let's read verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? In this verse, we are asked a question. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Of course, we know the answer if we went through the previous study, but so that we don't miss it, we are told, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses or their bodies fell in the wilderness? This is referring to when Moses sent out the 12 spies to spy out the land, which included Joshua and Caleb, and they returned with a good report about the fruit of the land, but a bad report about the peoples who were in the land. They told everyone that the people in the land were too strong and too big for the Israelites. And because of this fear of the people, the Israelites would not go into the land to conquer it, even though the Lord had promised that he would be with them. This unbelief that was created by the spies that went out to spy the land, except for Joshua and Caleb, of course, resulted in the Lord sentencing them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites' children would finally be allowed into the promised land after the 40 years of wandering were completed. Well, let's refresh our memories on this account of the Israelites' unbelief and the sentencing of them to 40 years of wandering until they die. Let's start reading in Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. And I believe we read this in our last study as well, but it'll be good to refresh our minds. And we'll read through Numbers 14, verse 39. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. That is the spies, the 12 spies, which included Caleb and Joshua. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath God brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against him. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud stands over them, and that thou go before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where into he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you, and get you unto the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, As you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey to all those people in the land, them will I bring in to the land, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be washed in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. So, there you have it. Because the Israelites would not trust in Yahweh, that he had given them the promised land, and he would certainly be with them to destroy the peoples who were in the land as he said he would, their unbelief resulted in their being sentenced to wander the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. That is, all who were 20 years of age or older when they came out from Egypt by Moses would have to wander the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. Only their children, as well as Joshua and Caleb, would finally be allowed into the promised land, but only after they suffered the sins of their parents by wandering in the desert for 40 years. Now, the Lord did not give us this account merely for the sake of history, but this account was written for our learning. You see, the Israelites typify all the peoples in the churches worldwide. These are those who, like the Israelites, have constantly rebelled against the Lord and who have been sentenced to wandering in this spiritual desert of a world until they perish. They, like the Israelites, will not be permitted into the promised land of heaven because they did not believe the Lord when he said that the church age had ended. And you can click on the two links to see that it did. They did not believe the Lord when he commanded his people to come out of the churches. And you can click on the link to see that he did command his people to come out of the churches. They did not believe the Lord when he said that spiritual judgment day began on May 21, 2011. You can click on the link to see the proofs. And they did not believe the Lord when he said that salvation had ended. And you can click on the two links to see that it has ended. For these reasons and more, the wrath of God has come upon all those who claim relationship with Christ, but who through unbelief will not be allowed into heaven. Only the true elect, who are typified by Joshua and Caleb, will be allowed into the promised land. For they believed the Lord in such things as the church age ending, in such things as coming out from the churches, in such things as spiritual judgment day beginning on May 21, 2011, with the end to salvation. And not believing such false things as Christ dying for sins at or before the foundation of the world. And not believing that the death of Christ on earth in 33 AD was merely a demonstration of the atonement that took place at or before the foundation of the world. No, rather, but believing that the death of Christ on earth in 33 AD was the one and only true atonement for sins. There is no other atonement through which the elect are saved. Moving on to verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 18. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, But to them that believed not, here we first read, and to whom sware he, the verb swear is in the aorist tense, which signifies an action that took place at some point in the past, so it could be translated, and to whom did he swear? This reveals that the swearing did take place at some point in the past. Furthermore, we read that they should not enter into his rest. Actually, the verb should is in the future tense and should be translated that they will not enter into his rest. So our verse reads like this, and to whom did he swear that they will not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? Now let's take a closer look at the last part of this verse, but to them that believe not. In the Greek, the word but in the sentence, but to them that believe not, is actually the word if. So quite literally, our verse would translate like this, and to whom did he swear that they will not enter into his rest, if not to them that believe not? To put it another way, since he swore to those who believe not that they will not enter into his rest, to whom else did he swear? Obviously, he swore only to them that believe not. So our verse can be translated, and to whom did he swear that they will enter into his rest, except to them that believe not? Now we know who it was that believed not, to whom Yahweh did swear that they will not enter into his rest. It was all those Israelites who would not believe what Yahweh said, namely that the promised land was theirs, and that Yahweh would be with them to conquer the peoples that were in the land. Because they would not believe and trust in Yahweh, they were sentenced to wander the desert for 40 years until they all died. Only their children, as I've said before, along with Joshua and Caleb, would finally be allowed into the promised land after 40 years were complete. Remember what we read in Numbers 14, verses 22 through 33? Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then skipping to verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Moving on to our last verse, this is verse 19. This will be the last verse that we will cover. This is verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In this verse, we see the conclusion of it all. The Israelites were not allowed into the promised land because of unbelief. even though Yahweh promised that he would give them the land and that he would help them destroy the peoples who were then in the land, the Israelites would not believe Yahweh, but instead feared the peoples of the land, thinking that they were too big and too strong to conquer. And they manifest this unbelief even though they had all seen the great miracles that Yahweh had done in leading them out from Egypt, as well as all the miracles which he had done to get them through the wilderness to the promised land. How could they now not believe that Yahweh would be able to destroy the peoples in the promised land? Nevertheless, they did not believe in Yahweh over and over again as they journeyed toward the promised land. So finally, Yahweh gave them up by sentencing them to wandering in the desert for 40 years until they died. None of them who were 20 years of age or older when they came up from Egypt would ever be allowed to enter the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb, because they trusted the Lord and believed what he said, that he would lead them into the promised land and conquer the peoples therein. Now, as we have said several times now, this is all a picture of all the peoples in the churches who apparently were delivered from spiritual Egypt, that is, from sin and Satan, but who will not be allowed into the promised land of heaven because of their unbelief. As Yahweh has led them through this spiritual desert of a world, they have constantly refused to believe him. They refused to believe that the church age ended, even though his word so declared it. They refused to obey his commands to depart out from the churches, even though his word so teached it. They refused to believe that salvation ended in the churches, even though his word proclaimed it. They refused to believe that spiritual judgment day began on May 21, 2011, even with infallible proofs and evidence that the word declared. They refused to believe that salvation came to an end everywhere in the world beginning on May 21, 2011, even though his word has made it clear. They refused to believe that Christ made payment for sins when he came to earth and died on the cross, but instead have chosen to believe that he paid for sins before the foundation of the world, and they say he simply demonstrated all this when he came to earth and died on the cross. Yes, they have refused to believe over and over and over again, and even constructed their own idol of a false Christ. Therefore, Yahweh has given up on them all by sentencing them to wander in the spiritual desert of this world without ever being allowed into the promised land of heaven, but instead dying in the wilderness of this world forevermore without ever enjoying the inheritance of the saints. But although the peoples in all the churches worldwide have only death to look forward to, there is a remnant of people who were typified by Joshua and Caleb that have remained faithful in believing what Yahweh has said, so that they will be allowed into the promised land of heaven. They have come out from all the churches. They believe that Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011 with the end to salvation. They have rejected the demonstration gospel and hold firm to the truth. These are all those who were truly saved by a rebirth into the Spirit of Yahweh, which has made them faithful and believing. They are blessed because of believing the word of Yahweh as a gift of faith, and they stand firm in it. They are like Joshua and Caleb, who though had to endure the hard trials of the wilderness, were finally allowed into the promised land. We also, if we hold firm in believing the word of Yahweh, we'll soon enter the promised land of heaven. Amen. In conclusion, we are partakers of Christ if indeed we hold firm to the gospel that Christ died for our sins when he was on earth, that he was buried and that he rose from the dead when Cephas, when Peter was still alive. If we believe that Christ died for our sins before the foundation of the world, and that he merely demonstrated all this when he came to earth, then we have believed in vain, For this is not holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And it is not keeping in memory what the Apostle Paul preached to us, whereby we are saved. Furthermore, if today we should hear Yahweh's voice, we should not harden our hearts as the Israelites did who came up from Egypt by Moses, and who, as a result, were sentenced to wander in the desert for 40 years until they all died without ever entering the promised land. But instead, we should be like Joshua and Caleb, who believed what the Lord had said, which resulted in their being allowed into the promised land. We should believe the church age has ended because this is what Yahweh said. We should believe the spiritual judgment day began on May 21, 2011 because this is what Yahweh said. We should believe that salvation ended on May 21, 2011 because this is what Yahweh said. We should believe that Christ paid for sins when he was on earth because this is what Yahweh said. And if we do believe all these things, then it is likely that we will be allowed into heaven. But if we believe not the things that Yahweh has said, then we can be assured that we will not ever be allowed into heaven. And why? Because of unbelief. We were simply never granted the free gift of faith. But if we have been granted that free gift of faith, then we will believe. And such faith guarantees our inheritance as a saint in the new heaven and earth to be manifest on the last day. Now, to the true elect of Yahweh, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.